Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. You got a question for RLM? Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Everyone, welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Global Happiness Specialist. That's right, I said it, Global Happiness Specialist, Inner Peace Practitioner, Oracle, teacher, but even more importantly, a student of the universe, just constantly growing, constantly learning, constantly expanding. And boy, oh boy, are we in for a treat today. Woo! And if you've listened to me, if you've listened to the show before, you know I share what is behind the scenes. Just world global happiness specialist. That does not mean that things that happen and I'm just skipping through the tulips. No, 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 it doesn't work that way. The good news is happiness is a practice skill like any other skill, from speaking to writing to being a professional athlete or just an athlete, a musician, a landscaper, painter, chef. Happiness is a practice skill, and let me be very clear, because that word happiness sometimes gets a bad rap. So when I say happy, when I say I'm happy, what I really want to convey is an energy, which is an energy, a vibration of contentment, a vibration of peace, a vibration rooted in trust and surrendering in the moment, and acceptance. When I say happiness, it is the vibration of contentment, and everybody understands that. Hopefully. Whew. Before I go on, I get new listeners and new followers every single week organically. I don't know how people find me, but I'm glad you're here, especially if this is the first time listening. Before I go on, the number to call in and speak with me live is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. Press the number 1 and you can speak with me live. And if you're listening on Wisdom, just ask to join the the show. I love questions. I love when you disagree. I love your comments. I love you sharing. When I say happiness specialist, when I was younger, I wished for the same two things. I wanted to live to my potential. And I wanted to be happy. And so this happiness journey has been over 45 years. Did I say 45 years? How could that be 45 years when I'm only 32? Huh? How does that work out? You do the math. 45 years. And I'm here to say that when I say happiness is a practice skill, and inner peace is a practice skill, and feeling content is a practice skill, the more you commit to the practice, the better the results, the better the outcome. So the question that you ask yourself, not me, because for me, happiness, contentment is number one. Number one on the list. Top priority, committed, focused, peace, and contentment. That's it. Everything else is just extra, it's just icing on the cake. It's just thank you. But the number one priority in my life, and I realize that everybody isn't the same, I realize that, is contentment. And when I say it's a practice skill, the good news is anyone can make a commitment and anyone can practice. The first part of the practice is to gradually eliminate all of those programmed behaviors that have been proven to subtract from your contentment, your happiness, your peace. And so some of those behaviors are programmed. Believe me, when I say programmed, it is any kind of behavior, any kind of learned behavior that you have that you didn't have when you popped out of the womb, starting with blaming anyone or blaming your circumstances for how you feel, comparing yourself to someone else, giving power to words. I know, I said it, excuse me, giving power to words. Words aren't innately words are not powerful. Noticing what someone else is doing, talking negatively about someone else or the conditions that have nothing to do with you, or conditions in the world that you have no control over. Thinking anything is serious, thinking anything is important, sharing bad news, having expectations, living in the past, living in the future. All of these, I'm up to 52 programmed behaviors that subtract from your contentment. 52. And I just listed, I don't know, 12? One of the things we're going to talk today about, which is real life story this week. I was speaking to someone on the phone, and she was being interviewed, and I was on the OWL app. I don't know if you know about the OWL app, but it is an app that you can download for free, and you can use my code RLN. This isn't a plug. I'm just sharing with you what this app is about, and you can speak to anyone that is signed up, that is, you know, downloaded the app across the country with a variety of expertise, from medical to lawyers to real estate to spirituality to podcasters. You name whatever kind of vocation, and OWL has it. So that's just another. I don't know how I got off on that tangent, but it is a free app to download. And I was speaking to someone, and she was being interviewed on the OWL podcast. That's how I'm tying all this in. She was being interviewed on the OWL podcast, and so the CEO of OWL called me and wanted my input. And so she asked me, she said, well, Rebecca, what do you do? And I said, well, I share with people what to practice so you can experience more happiness on the journey. And again, when I say happiness, it is a vibration. It is a vibration. It is a personal energy of contentment. And when I told her, I said, well, I teach people how to experience more happiness. And one of the things she said to me was, you're preaching to the choir. I get that a lot. You're preaching to the choir. In other words, yeah, we're on the same page. What she was saying is that I think that that's very important. Happiness is important. And what did I say to her? Oh. And so she was saying, oh, this is what she said. Here we go. She said, it's a daily choice. And that sparked today's topic. And that sparked today's conversation. It is a daily choice. And my question to you, my dear audience, is it really a choice? Do you really have a choice? Do you really have free will? Do you have free will? Or are you a programmed robot? No offense. No offense. That's another thing that subtracts from your happiness, taking anything what anyone says or does personally. This is an impersonal universe. And so when you take things personally, especially from someone, what they're saying or how they're saying it, it's never personal. That's another programmed behavior, that it is personal. And when you, if you find yourself taking something personally, know that that is a program. Because you weren't born like that. You did not pop out of the womb being able to be offended, having your feelings hurt, taking something personally. All of that is learned behavior. The good news is, if you learn it, you can unlearn it. Before I go on, again, the number to call in is area code 646-564-9619. Press the number 1, 646-564-9619. Oh, and my YouTube channel is getting updated, so if you're inspired, subscribe, only if you're inspired. Let me share with you before I get to the topic of are you a programmed robot? And I'm smiling. My definition of happiness. We all have a different definition. My definition is the ability to vibrate an energy of peace regardless of what happens and regardless of what doesn't happen. Plug in the energy of contentment too. The ability to vibrate an energy of contentment regardless of what's happening. So it is an external. In other words, the external has nothing to do with your internal vibration or energy or your inner peace. Absolutely nothing. Today's topic, oh my goodness, ooh-wee, I'm just letting you know in advance, seatbelts may be required. When I ask, are you a programmed robot? Let me be very clear. I had to look in the mirror myself this week, which is a familiar place where I hang out. I hang out in the mirror when I teach the classes, The Truth About Happiness. And if you've listened to the show, you know that the first thing I say, I offer is it's a gift. It's a small gift. I give each student a gift. And in that package, there is an actual object. And in that package is the answer to all of your challenges and all of your problems for the rest of your life. And what's in the package? It's a mirror. And when I say the work is done in the mirror, I ain't kidding. All the work is done in the mirror. And the self-awareness is part of the work. So I'm going to be speaking about my buttons, my triggers, because one of the things when I talk about being programmed, I really didn't include myself. What? Did she say that out loud? I didn't include myself as one of the programmed robots only because I've been studying this stuff for 4+ decades. I know what a programming looks like. I know what a programming feels like. I know I've got 52 programmed behaviors. I'm going to have to add another one now. 52 programmed behaviors. But yours truly could get triggered. Yours truly can have her buttons pushed. And I don't know about you, but the triggers and the buttons that are pushed, I don't think there's any new buttons. I think this is just rehashed, regurgitated, vomited, the same buttons, the same things, the same stories, or the same triggers. I wrote down some of my triggers. Hold on a second. Let me find them. I wrote down some of the triggers. Here we go. And let's play along if you're inspired. Write down or note what are your triggers, because there is a point to this. Some of my triggers are stupid questions. Okay, you follow me with this. Stupid questions. That means questions that people ask, and if they just took a breath and if they just paused a second and they weren't just reacting, they already know the answer to the question that they're asking. And the funny thing is, I don't know about you, but the universe puts in my path, the universe puts on my path the exact circumstances I need to get to another level of awareness, another level of consciousness, exactly what I need, even though being triggered doesn't feel too good. So asking stupid questions, and you know what? I have a girlfriend, and she's in the circle. She's in my circle, and all she and she only communicates with questions. The practical joke. She only communicates. I mean, I could be, if I'm talking to her face to face or on the phone, and it's 3 minutes have passed, there's probably at least 10 questions in 3 minutes. And every question that she asks, she knows the answer to. And that just bugs the hell out of me. And don't think we haven't had conversations about it. Don't think I've tried to change her. Don't think but now my whole practice is acceptance. Because if I'm not accepting her, then I'm not accepting myself. But don't think I've tried. Don't think that I haven't tried to ask someone else to change their behavior so I would feel better. Having a communication, working it out. No, you don't need to change. Just be yourself. If who you are is asking 20 questions that you already know the answer to, and that's the way you communicate in less than 3 minutes, you notice how I bumped that up from 10 questions to 20 questions. Oh, exaggeration sometimes is so, so helpful. But questions. Don't think I haven't tried, but let's get back to my triggers. And play along. What are your triggers? Here's another one. This may be more common. Customer service. If I'm on the phone with customer service, I've talked about customer service before. And you know the interesting thing? When I have to call Apple or any kind of customer service, I'm already ramping up the stories in my head, they're going to come with the same program questions. And you know the questions, especially after, is there anything else I can help you with? What did I call? I called Apple last week. What was it about? It's about my MacBook. It was about I wasn't able to retrieve emails. It sent emails, and for some reason it went. The whole screen went blank. So I call Apple. I even know what button to push so you don't have to listen to music. It's number 4. And inevitably, it's always at the end. Is there anything I can help you with? No, I've already told you what I called for. There's nothing else you can help me with. And that program question is asked at the bank. It's asked it all over, and it drives me crazy. here's another one. Let me share this story. And what is a trigger? What are buttons pushed? That means, I'm speaking for myself, that means that I instantly have a reaction. I instantly have to respond just like a robot. And when I realize that I'm up here talking about program behaviors, and when I realize that I have more program behavior than I thought, I know I get triggered, but I didn't realize that the trigger, and then I'm acting the same way after a trigger, which is being annoyed, or irritated, bothered. If I'm acting the same way after a trigger or after a button is being pushed, That's not free will. That's a programmed robot. This question, when I ask people, when I ask, do we, this is my question. When I ask this question, do we have free will? The majority of people, the majority say, yeah, free will. In fact, this woman, get back to the story, the interview. Let me get back a little bit. So I was talking to this woman. She was being interviewed on the OWL app. And boy, I sure did jump from one spot to the other. I didn't even finish the story. And so she was talking about you're preaching to the choir, and which means she values happiness. And I asked her a question. I said, do you worry? And that's a question that I ask people for a reason. There's only one reason why people worry. I've said it a million times if I've said it once. The only reason why people worry is lack of trust. Lack of trust, that's the only reason. You can't worry and trust at the same time. So when this woman said that you're preaching to the choir and yes, happiness is number one and yes, it's important and I choose it every day, I asked her, do you worry? And this is what happened because she had younger children. She had, I think one of her children was, a child was 11 and the other one was 6 or 7, young children. And so she said, this is what she said, which triggered me and pushed my buttons. This is what she said. Oh, yes, everybody worries. That's normal. That always triggers me, these statements that are just not true. The statements that are programmed, follow me please, the statements that are programmed statements and they are not true. Everybody does not worry. Most people have been programmed to worry, but everybody does not worry. I'm raising my left hand here. No. I mean, I have other things, but worrying is not one of them. And the only reason why is because the practice of trust is so strong. You cannot worry and trust at the same time. So when this woman said, oh, yes, I have children, and I worry about their safety, and I worry about their future, and I worry, and everybody worries. Well, yours truly, a global happiness specialist, beep, 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 beep. Inner peace practitioner, oracle, that person, everybody worries. And my trigger is to respond, and I said, no, everybody doesn't worry. Everybody doesn't worry. That is not a true statement. Yes, you were programmed to worry. A lot of the masses do worry. But that is not true that everybody worries. And one of my triggers is someone making a statement that isn't true. And my response is always the same. I call them on it. I call them on it, I robotically call them on it. That's not the truth. Now, there's no judgment with the triggers. Let me be very clear. There's no judgment about having a trigger. But the practice comes from, can I make a different choice? Can I choose a different behavior? Can I choose a different story? Can I choose a different response to the same trigger? I'm going to get to the calls. Can I make a different choice? Can I respond differently? Can I, if I hear a statement that isn't the truth, can I shut the up and listen to it without reacting? Because it is a reacting. It is a reaction, and there's a difference between reacting and responding. So one of my triggers is people just not telling the truth. And I'm not talking about oh, your truth, my truth. I'm talking about everybody doesn't worry. That's just not a true statement. Here's the other triggers, my triggers. People that say that I'm, people that make false accusations about me. I'll admit to anything that's true, even if it's ugly. If it's true, it's true. But if it's not true, boy, am I triggered. If it's not true, I do not, my ego does not like that. But see, the practice is, why am I responding the same way over and over and over again like a robot? So do I have free will if I am a robot? The answer is no. Let me, what is this? Hold on a second. Oh, I was trying to find this one email that I received. Okay, here it is. I was working with the gentleman, and then I'll get to the calls. I'll get to the queue. I was working with a gentleman, and we ended our working relationship. And in the email that he wrote to me, he said, I know that I feel your, I know this is, I'm just sharing. This is behind the scenes. I know and I feel your frustration, and it's been very challenging. Hold on a second. See, I was triggered because someone is telling me that I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated that you think I'm frustrated. That's frustrating. But I wasn't frustrated. And that's what I'm talking about, buttons and triggers. So I'm doing a full overhaul over here. It's all the parts of the engine are out on the floor. I'm doing a complete overhaul. Because if I'm claiming to be the world's global happiness specialist, I'm really starting to shine a light on these triggers, and meaning that not to get rid of them, but to know that I can respond differently with the same trigger. But it's been years and years, the same triggers, the same response, the same triggers, the same response, just like a robot. Hold on, let me pull someone up. Okay, I believe this is Robert. Robert, you are live on Reality Spirituality. Thank you for joining. What's up, Robert Sharp?
Good day, Rebecca.
Good day, my friend. Good day, my friend, and I mean that. Hello?
Sorry, I got this for some reason.
Oh, okay. There you are. Good. Mhm. Hello.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Speak.
Okay. I was gonna say everybody gets triggered, but I'm only kidding.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I understand what you're saying too. You know, like the person saying, you know, something about you that isn't true. You know, and how that is frustrating. But and you mentioned your ego. You know, which is the proper place for the, you know, the source of where, you know, where that came from. But you know, I think a lot of times, like you say, you know, you started the show with talking about the mirror. You know, I think a lot of that is, you know, the mirror. You know, it, you know, why does someone else thinking you're feeling, they know your feelings, you know, when, you know, that's your purview kind of thing. But you know, the thing is that, then in that particular one, and I know, I mean, I have my triggers as well, but
well,
I think
let's share your triggers if you want to. You want to?
I was trying to think of them. I mean, really, I guess, you know, where you get triggered by people saying things that aren't true. I get triggered by people who's are just uneducated of some of the basic things, you know, in life. And it's, to me, it's you know, where I walk away thinking, now how do they get through life, you know? And then, you know, of course, I have to look at myself and figure out, you know, why is it I'm, you know, responding judgmentally, you know, when that's
the
case.
The worst.
But anyway.
Isn't it the worst going back to the mirror and saying, well, it's not them, it's me? Isn't that the worst?
Well, you know, but I think that's the purpose, you know. I mean, when we get down to it, that's the case. And, you know, the more often that we can realize that, you know, that is the case, that it's like nothing personal, it's just something for us to look at about ourselves, then, you know, all the better, because then it leads to learning more and knowing oneself better.
Well, yes.
And once you do that,
then
you don't get triggered.
Point with all of this is, if I'm triggered, why am I responding the same way all
right.
the time? If I'm triggered and I have free will, then why can't I respond in a different way? That's really getting the purpose of sharing this. And if you can't respond differently, why am I just robotically same way? So. How, and then I had to say, well, I got to come back and put a percentage on my own programming. Well, what is it? So I came up with probably 75% non-programmed, and then 25%, because if I have triggers and I'm responding the same way, that's just another program, but I'm on it. Trust me, I'm on it.
Yeah.
I'm on the job.
I know. And, you know, that's the key, you know, that without a, quote, triggered response, it doesn't become a trigger anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It only becomes a trigger when you respond in a trigger, like there was something pointed at you, you know, that something was shot at you, you know, but mm-hmm. if you recognize that that's not the case, you know, then it no longer becomes a trigger because, you know, whatever the action is or was, no longer, like you say, that, you know, gets a programmed response.
And the other thing too, Robert, is I would like to have a different response than my program response to a trigger. I would like to have options. See, that's really what this is about. When I say happiness is a practice skill, it's really about options, different ways to behave other than the same robotic way. And in fact, let me throw this one out. Some people, words used to trigger me. A word can
mm-hmm.
trigger. And talk about a global issue when a word can be offensive, when a word can trigger a reaction, when a word. So that's already done. There's no word that can trigger me anymore. But other things, trust me. But a single word, And so the point really is now I'm triggered, but now I'm giving myself another way to respond. And in fact, not just one way to respond. How about five different ways to respond to a trigger, so I'm not a prisoner of this programmed behavior.
Right. So you basically don't replace one program with another program.
Yes.
Even if it's a good one. Even if it's a positive alternative to what would have been negative.
Now I'm getting chills. Yes, exactly. Even if it's a positive one, air quotes.
Right. I saw those air quotes.
Why do I like you? I know why I like. You know what I like about you?
What's that?
Everything.
There you go. Well, you know what? I'm not going to argue with that. I think you're telling the truth.
I am telling the truth. And, you know, and that goes with anybody. And that's not just you, Robert, but if I can say that about any person, especially those people that aren't they don't think like me and they don't move like me or they don't have the same outlook as I do, and I still like them or I still accept, then come on.
Yep.
That's some high level shit.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that?
Starting so heavy for Sunday morning.
Oh well, that's again words. Come on now. Would you like to share another trigger, or you're done with sharing your triggers?
Well, no, I'm done sharing. I'd have to really kind of give it some thought. I mean, truly, I very little triggers me. So, but there are those things that happen. So, but I try again. I try and focus when those things happen to try to do as much of a mental shift as I can, pulling from some options. So.
Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate you contributing to the show. You know I always do. Always.
I appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, thank you. And you know what? Robert brings up a really good point, and the point is just being self-aware. Self-aware, and even if it's just five triggers or three triggers, the point is, if you are responding the same way all the time, know that there is no such thing as free will. If you can't change your behavior, I back to the story of this woman, and she says, of course, everybody worries. I have young children. Everybody worries, and the state of the world, and their health, and their safety. And so then when I hit her with the baseball bat, and I said, well, you worry, you can't worry and trust at the same time. And before that, she was talking about, yes, we have a choice to be happy. So my question would be, which I didn't come up with it only because the universe didn't spark my quickness at the time. So my question is, so why would you choose to worry? So now that you know that worry and trust, you can't do both at the same time, why would you choose to worry? And if you can't snap your fingers and immediately go into trust, I'm not going to worry anymore, I'm going to trust. And if you can't just snap it and go, and yes, I'm going to trust, because everybody knows, everybody that's listening knows that worrying doesn't do anything for you. Worrying doesn't do anything for the person you're worrying about. In fact, I can feel when people say, oh, I'm worried, or drive safely with that worry energy. Oh, that's another trigger, by the way. Thank you. Drive safely. Be safe with that worried energy behind it. And my trigger is because I trust. I thank you for your be safe and your worried energy, but leave me out of it. You keep your worry energy to yourself. I'm just sharing what's behind the scenes, behind the curtain. And so that's another trigger when someone puts that energy on me. Displays that type of worried energy. I can feel it. And so, but it's not them. It's me. Acceptance, and these people, myself included, all of us are doing the best we can in any situation, in any moment. Every single one of us. I'm doing the best I can. You're doing the best you can. So getting back to having young children, and especially children can feel energy. I mean, when you get a little older, maybe if you're not practicing, or it's just the same with intuition. We're born with all of it. We're born with the ability to feel people's energy and have that intuition. It's just whether or not we cultivate it or not. And so my question would have been to her, are you going to choose? Because she says, yes, we all have free will to choose. We choose to be happy. So can you choose not to worry in an instant? Can you say, snap your fingers and I'm not going to worry? Is worrying about your children doing them any good? And in fact, what I told her, I know I'm horrible. What I told her, I said, oh, so you're teaching your children how to worry, and you're teaching your children how to make decisions or behave with a fear foundation. Because all worry is fear. lack of trust and fear. So I said, that's what you're teaching your children. Oh, and that was our first meeting. No wonder I don't have any friends, but back up. So do what and the second question, the second response, not the second, but the but I'm sure if I said you have free will, the answer, yeah, I have free will. Well, then snap your fingers and stop worrying and trust. Can you do that with the snap of your fingers? And if you can't, is that free will? So my question, when I say do robots have free will, robots can only do what they're programmed to do. Just like Pavlov's dog responding, salivating when a bell rings. Robots can only do what they are programmed to do. So that's going to be a question only you can answer, my dear listener. Before we go on, the number to call in live is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619 if you want to speak with me live, or if you want to speak with me on Wisdom, just ask to join the show. Back to the triggers. And I'm harping on this because this is a new discovery for me. I know I was triggered. I know I have buttons pushed. But what I didn't realize is that when that happens and I'm automatically triggered, snap, I just go into this trigger mode, I'm a robot. I'm a robot. And I talk about and I'm against being a robot. I'm not a robot. But when the truth hits, I gotta wear it. Yes. And if I'm triggered, not scratch, if. When I'm triggered, let's see, what else are my triggers? I wrote them down. Customer service doing wrong, lying about me, people not telling the truth. I got work to do. I have practice. I have more things to practice. And the first thing that I'm going to practice is, what other response can I implement? What other response can I implement when I'm triggered? Because I've done that other reaction for decades. What new response can I discover when I'm triggered? I don't want to be a robot. I don't want to. No, it's not my nature. No. And I do have free will to make a different choice and to make a different decision. Oh, yes, I do. And it is going to take practice. And it is going to take time. It is going to take patience with the process. But I will be damned if I'm going to sit up here and react to the same things the same way for years after years. I'm over it. Something different, something new, something fresh. That's free will. And I don't know. I'm not gonna act like I do know. But a woman that says, yes, I worry about my children, and there's no judgment here. It's just describing. There's a difference between describing and judging. So the description of a woman that has young children that is worried about her children, if I said, choose to trust. Snap my finger. Choose to trust. Instantly. Can you do that? Can you do that? And if you can't, is that free will? Free will means you can do anything at any time. In any situation, you can make a choice. You can choose. But how long, but I'm just asking, is that even a possibility? You know what? Yes, it is. Don't think that that's impossible. Snap your finger. Now the worry is gone, and now you're only going to trust. But what are the odds of that? That's all I'm saying. Let me get back to, you know, last week we talked about clicks and views and likes and shares and how numbers, social media numbers, affect contentment and happiness and peace. And it's the same moving into this week. It just, you know, these practices just flow into every circumstance. There is nothing external, nothing out there, likes, views, clicks. There is nothing out there that has the power to affect how I'm feeling inside, has the power to alter my inner peace. Nothing. But the program will say, yes, this is happening, and so now I feel like this. That is happening, so now that makes me feel like that. And that goes from getting news about finances, getting news about health, getting news about a job, getting news about getting fired from a job. I use the term universe. You can use whatever term you want. Source, God, higher power, spirit, whatever term. Know that in every moment you are being served, regardless of how it feels, regardless of how it looks, you are being served. It's not easy to eliminate the programming. It's not easy to even know instantly, oh, that's a program. The practice is to question all of those bold statements. You know those statements that, what did somebody tell me the other day? Oh, we're talking about finishing this book. Now, I'm on my second book. It's called Program for Unhappiness. And he says, well, you're going to be making a big influence in the world, and you're going to help a lot of people, and you're going to influence the world, and I said, well, that's not why I'm writing the book. That's not why I'm finishing the book. What do you mean that's not why you're? What do you mean that's not why you're writing the book? Don't you want to help other? Don't you want to serve? Don't you want to help other people? Isn't that? Well, why are you writing the book? See, all of that triggered me. Triggered me to explain why that statement that was said is not the truth. See, you follow me, a lot of my stuff, I'm not saying everything, but a lot of my stuff has to do with, a lot of my triggers, buttons push, has to do with not speaking, not hearing the truth, people not speaking the truth. It's the same as this world, you know, definition of success. Really, what is the definition of success? Is it fame, money, power, influence? What is it? The other one is you have freedom. You have so much money, now you have freedom. What is success? I know that's an individual. It's an individual definition. But my definition of success is the ability to be able to smile and laugh and even tell a joke. On my deathbed. Tell a joke. Later, alligator. Bye. See you when I see you. Smile. That's my definition. And the other definition is the ability to live in the present moment at all times. That's successful for me. Living in the present moment, and my ego doesn't, I mean, it's the opposite, wants me to have a story, wants to stay in the past or in the future. Nothing about the present moment the ego is not interested in. But can you imagine, I'm just speaking for myself, I can imagine because there are times when that present moment does not leave me. I mean, I am in the moment. You know, some people call it in the zone, in the moment, constantly. And living in the present moment from now until I breathe my last breath, that's success for me. And the vibration of contentment. The vibration of contentment is success. The vibration of inner peace is success. That's it. It's simple, but it's also a practice. I'm just looking over my notes. Ego does everything in its power to keep me out of the present moment. That's right. How about you? Where does your mind go when you're bopping around? I mean, if you're like me, the stories are endless. The ego always has something else for me to do other than be in the moment. Oh, and by the way, the ego is not coming up with any new story. You can't get any more programmed than the ego. And I use the term ego. You can use lower consciousness, critical mind, whatever term you want to use, but it is a program on steroids, and its only mission is to make me. Its only mission is the mission of discontent and dissatisfaction. This is its only mission to have enough influence over me that I, and when I say over me, you know, those are air quotes too, because we have two identities that we're living with, that ego, critical mind, and then that universal self. And so when I say I'm shifting out of this human form, out of this human life, out of this human realm, and I'm going full on spiritual, when I'm in the middle and going back and forth and feeling a certain way because of a quote-unquote trigger, I'm all egoed out. I'm all in the ego's clutches. Yeah, that's what the ego wants, me to identify with the trigger, and, you know, identify with the triggers and identify with the buttons being pushed. But I'm not really, God isn't, the source, my spirit isn't triggered. God doesn't get triggered. The spiritual realm isn't triggered. So which identity are you going to lean towards? Focus on? That's another question. Only you, my dear listener, can answer. Getting back to the, are you a robot? If you cannot, well, scratch that. If in the moment, you cannot make a different decision. Okay, let me give you another example. So you're driving on the freeway and somebody cuts you off. I've said this before. Somebody cuts you off. And is there, or anyone cuts you off, is there an instant anger? Is there an instant irritation? Is there an instant reaction? And I'm raising my hand because years ago, yes. Oh, I would react like most program robots react. Annoy, middle finger goes out, yelling in the car, whatever it is. You know what I'm talking about. Instant, if you are reacting instantly, know that you are acting robotically, and that's the program. I hope I'm getting my point across, because this is another... I don't know if this is really talked about or discussed to this depth, but I'm on the train of doing something different than what the robot wants to do. I'm on the train of let's have more than one response. And let me get back to that road rage. There was a time when, yes, I reacted the same way, anger. And now when somebody cuts me off, and it happens, come on, cuts me off, goes slow speeds, whatever, I could care less. There are no more road rage stories about safety or watching somebody. Here we go. Put your seatbelts on this one. Looking out, because someone told me this the other day. I was watching this driver, and they stopped next to me, and they were on their phone. They were texting on their phone. I'm not saying to text on your phone or not to text on your phone, but if you respond the same way when you see somebody using their phone, looking down on their phone, texting on their phone, and of course this is a noble response, correct? Noble. Oh, it's not safe. I get it. I promise you I get it. But I will be damned if I'm up here looking at someone else and having somebody text. Because I used to. Oh, look at them texting and, oh, how dangerous. Yeah, and it's the same robotic response. I will be damned if I'm going to be a robot. These people are going to do what they're going to do. I am not the text police. And that's another thing. Being in somebody else's business, being some kind of police officer, and I mean that, you know, looking out and wanting the world to do something, be better, be safer, whatever that is, that's another program. All I'm here is to put a spotlight on the programming, because all program behaviors subtract from your contentment, every single one of them. Now I'm up to 53, getting triggered, getting triggered, which is just meaning a lack of acceptance of whatever's happening in the moment. Getting triggered is just another action of resisting the moment. All a trigger is a resistance. And it just keeps going, and it never ends. So there's going to be more mirror work for yours truly, more how can I, in fact, the question, because I don't pretend to do this by myself, asking the universe, hey, universe, can you hear me? Of course. How can I let go? How can I have more than one response to any trigger that I encounter? Yeah, that's my request. How can I have more than one response, and not just another response? How can I have multiple responses? You know, I was reading an affirmation about multiple streams of income are coming to me freely. How can I have multiple responses to the same trigger? Wouldn't you think that would bring more contentment and more peace? Well, thank you for that. Wouldn't you think that would bring you more peace and more contentment, having more than one way to react? Because reaction is all robotic, having more than one way to react and or respond. Whew. What a great show. Happiness is a practice skill, and the practice is reverting back to who you were when you were born. There's nothing wrong with accomplishments. There's nothing wrong with titles or having money or awards, but accomplishments, awards, titles, it's this legacy thing. Oh, don't get me started on this legacy thing. Don't think that any of that is going to bring contentment. It may, for a moment. Wow, I accomplished that goal. Great. But what happens 5 minutes later? This world sells dissatisfaction. And that's a program, to be dissatisfied with the moment, to be dissatisfied with the present moment. You look at the athletes, from Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, the next moment, never satisfied. Emmys, Grammys, never satisfied. It's always wanting more. And I'm here to tell you that the place of contentment and peace is the energy of satisfaction. That's with yourself and with life and with others. And that's another practice. There's nothing you need to do. There's nothing you need to accomplish to arrive at or to carry or to embrace or to be an energy of contentment. There's nothing you need to do. Nothing you need to accomplish. Only what the vibration feels. You can feel the vibration. If there's got to be more. Well, if you're taking there's got to be more into this present moment, you're never going to be satisfied. And you can't get to a place, you can't get to an energy of satisfaction with dissatisfaction and wanting more. Robots, unite. Be gone. Scratch the unite. Robot, be gone. Be gone. No. Thank you for pointing that out, universe. Thank you for pointing out that I was reacting the same way. And I'm telling you that the growth happens when what used to trigger me, what used to push my buttons, just doesn't anymore. But until then, until that happens, I'm working on another way to respond. I'm working on another way to behave other than the robotic way. Ooh, wait. Let me share with you the behaviors that add to happiness, that add to your contentment, that you can practice every single day, moment, minute. Having a relentless commitment, having a focused commitment to wanting, needing, or desiring to experience more happiness in this lifetime. And again, when I say happiness, it's a vibration of contentment. That's what I mean when I say happiness. Prioritizing contentment, inner peace and happiness over any other desire. Practice living consciously by becoming self-aware in all moments. Self-awareness is the work. Self-awareness is the key. Choosing peace in all moments. So if I'm reacting to a trigger, I'm not choosing peace. And in fact, my free will has disappeared. Choosing peace in all moments. Practicing acceptance, acceptance of self, acceptance of others, acceptance of this life, acceptance of the world. I know, horrible world. Well, the world reflects, and your view of the world reflects how you feel internally. It just does. You either see, you know, you're either with a glass half full, glass half empty. However you see the world is how you are feeling inside. Surrendering without resistance in any moment. Humbling the ego, not identifying with the ego. When I say humble, you know what the ego is going to do when I tell the ego, and I say, oh, nope, not going to act like that anymore. I mean, I'm going to switch behaviors. No, I'm not going to act the same way with the same trigger anymore. Oh, the ego, my ego is going to go into a panic mode. No. Must do the same. Must act the same. Must have the same. I'm my ego's on a very, very strict diet. I'm starving the mother, starving it little by little. Nothing wrong with your ego, but you know, I already know your tricks. And what does my ego want? My ego wants me to feel bad for as many moments as possible and as long as possible. you know, that feel bad. There's something wrong. You know, a different energy other than contentment. The other behaviors that add to your peace, inner peace, happiness, and contentment. Here we go. This is a tough one. Being at peace with uncertainty. Being okay with uncertainty. Not having to know what's going to happen tomorrow. Uncertainty. Do you know how unsettling that used to be for me? Uncertainty. I need to know. That need to know is another program. Practicing trust. Letting go, releasing people, places, things that just are not of any service. Choosing your perspective. Choosing your focus. When I say choosing your perspective, nothing has to change in your life. Absolutely nothing for you to shift your energy just by changing your perspective. Find what's good in every situation. And if you can't find it, keep looking. And then when you do find what's good in the worst situations, guess what? Then you can teach it. Then you can share it. Staying out of everybody else's business. Celebrating your growth regularly. Celebrate you. Celebrate your growth. Celebrate that. You know what? That used to really bother me. Now, who cares? Who cares? Having patience. Having patience with yourself and having patience with the process. Remaining open to a variety of possibilities and experiences. Remaining open. Open, open, open. And that's it for today. Ah, reality, spirituality. Thank you for listening. Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. And my website is RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. My LinkedIn is Rebecca Norrington. My Instagram handle is Reality Spirituality. And my YouTube channel, if you feel inspired, you can subscribe to my YouTube channel. I am updating it with help from a very smart young woman. Updating it, and YouTube channels is a work in progress, but feel free to check out the videos. I'm going to be adding some new videos, short videos. And my first book, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, can be purchased on Amazon. I collaborated and wrote a chapter in two books. One of them is, let's see, if I only knew then what I know now. And the other book I contributed to was called The Book I Read, which is just about one of my most influential authors, and that's Dr. David Hawkins, Hawkins. And the book that I'm writing now, which is going to be published sooner than later, coming up, I'm smelling it, I'm getting closer, it's called Program for Unhappiness. And until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who the hell you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. Your conscious energy, which is always evolving, always changing, always growing, always expanding. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be kind and be patient to yourself. You, me, we're all doing the best we can in every single moment. So the practice is to accept who you are, where you are, exactly for what you are. Be your own best friend. And remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality Radio with yours truly, Global Happiness Specialist, Rebecca L. Norrington. And remember, happiness is a practice skill. And I promise you, the more you practice, the more peace, the more contentment you will experience, you will find, and your experience in every moment reflects on what you practice. Have a conscious week. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, always time to get real. Oh, yeah.
It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
hello. I just looked down and I said, there is no way I'm going to not invite you up. Hey, Jerry, thank you for joining. Welcome to the show. What's up? Hello?
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 Oh, I can hear you now. Hi, Jerry.
How you doing? This is my first time.
Oh, good for you. Me too. My first time talking.
Is this Rebecca?
This is Rebecca.
Okay, I love what you said. I think happiness is a choice.
It is a choice if you're not programmed.
Yes, yes. If you're not programmed or conditioned, you're right.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So everybody doesn't have a choice.
No, they don't. When you're programmed and conditioned, you have no choice. You're absolutely right.
And so what? Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm just listening.
Well, I was going to ask you. So, would you like to share some of your triggers?
Well, I don't have any more triggers. I'm 56 years old, and I've done away with all my triggers. One of my triggers used to be boredom, and I was conditioned.
That is a really interesting thing. You know, that boredom is another program. And
yes.
Yeah, it's another program. And so, all it is, and let me tell you something, when you're, not just you, but when I'm doing a lot of mirror work, okay, what do I need to do? How can I change? How can I grow? I'm never bored. There's always something to do. There's always something to do. Spiritual growth, personal growth. There is always something to do. I'm not going to be finished with this. And you being a youngster, I'm 67, youngster whippersnapper. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. So I've been doing this for a long time, 57. Oh.
No, but you said a key thing there because you said that you're never bored, right?
That's right.
And you've got to find time to open your mind to not be bored. Find things to do, things that interest you, and that's what helped me not to be bored, to get out of my boredom. You know, find things constantly to do because life is precious. And I'm still learning, so that's what I do now. I just find things to do, positive things to do.
I love that. But let me tell you this, my dear Jerry, because that boredom is, that's another program. So let me tell you this, that, an accomplishment is sitting in a chair doing nothing, staring at the wall and feeling contentment.
Yes, I totally agree. Getting self-analyst,
mm-hmm.
getting to know yourself, knowing who you really are.
Yes, without the program.
Not too many people. I've realized I'm 56, and you're older too, and I'm sure you realize that not too many people want to sit down and look at themselves, not to look at their feelings, their thoughts, and do an inventory.
And so what our job is, my dear Jerry, is to accept that and without any judgment, because it's just not their time to do it. What I say is, we're all avocados, and I'm not any better than the other avocados. It's just sometimes some people are ripe and some people aren't.
Yeah, it's crazy that you say that, judgment, because I had a problem with judging. Looking outside myself and judging everything that was going on around me, but I'm coming to terms with judgment now. I used to tend to judge people because of the things that I didn't like within myself, and I'm still learning now that there's a word for that. A spiritual word, in fact, that I learned.
Would you? Because we're running out of time. Would you like to come back up again if you have time? Would you like to come back up?
Okay.
Perfect.
All right, all right.
Okay,
yeah,
good. Because I want to hear what you have to say.
Okay, so do I just go.
Okay, so then you just go, and then you're going to come back and just ask, request to join again, and then I will say, yes, or wouldn't it be terrible if I said no? That's horrible. What a horrible joke. Okay, Jerry, come on back. So you have to request again. There he is. Yay. Okay, Jerry, click, check, and here he comes. You know, one of the things that Jerry was talking about is he said, just to reiterate what you're saying, is that you used to judge. And see, you know, that's the truth, Jerry, is being honest with yourself. And this, no feeling bad, no feeling critical, but this is what you said, I used to judge others. Trust me, Jerry, I was the queen. I had a Guinness Book of Record of judgment. I could judge so many people. I knew what was wrong with them. I knew what they needed to do. Judge, 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 here comes the judge. But all judgment subtracts from your contentment, and all judgment is a program. So if you could please keep sharing about your discovery of your judgment and what you learned about it, please.
Okay. What I've learned about me judging is that I realized that I was looking outside myself. I didn't want to sit in a room or just sit by myself. And when I judge somebody, I judge them based on everything that I was feeling inside myself. I've realized that. And I've been doing a lot of reading, and there's a word in spirituality. I'm trying to find it. It's right on the tip of my tongue. I'm trying to call it, but it's being able to see the hidden and the obscure. And it's another form of judgment. It's another form of judgment, but in a nice way, in a polite way, and not judging the human being, but judging the defects or the faults that I may have or that person may have, but we still love them as a human being.
So you're saying that you have faults?
I mean, yeah, because I to this day I still I mean, no one can be just like Jesus.
Oh yes, oh there, here we go. Now here there was a trigger. Yeah, what do you mean no one can be just like Jesus?
Well, I should have said no one can be 100% and walk like Jesus walked. I mean, us as human beings, I think we have defects. We judge. We make judgment calls, and that's something wrong, isn't it?
Well, let me say this, and this I love this Jesus talk, and it's nothing to do with the religion. Jesus was an example. Jesus was an example. Buddha. What was the other one? Confucius, all these people, and they were before Jesus, they were an example. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, better works you will do. You remember that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I do.
Okay, so
I do.
So the statement is nobody can be Jesus is just not true. It's an example. In fact, a human example, all Jesus was is an example to teach lessons, to show. And if Jesus can do it, we can do it.
Yes, I totally agree. And there's people that have done it. Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, all these people that came after Jesus, they've all applied. They've all walked the walk and talked the talk. But then, you know, you have the world here, and people aren't perfect. Humans aren't perfect. We can try to be perfect, but we're not perfect. We're gonna come across some type of trials and tribulations. We're gonna be judgmental. You got people out there that lie about little things and tell the truth about big things. I mean,
well,
you still say that.
Let me say this. One of the things that take the focus off of what other people are doing. people can do this. People are off the I never concern myself with what other people are doing.
All right.
That's being in somebody else's business.
Keep it on the eye. Keep it on the eye.
Yes, exactly. When people say, well, keep it on you. And then, yes, I'm Jesus.
Yes.
And so it's really just a practice. And Jesus, the purpose was to show, give examples, was to teach. He was a teacher. And come back again.
Yeah.
Come back again if you have time. Because I want to say this,
okay,
especially we talked about Jesus now. Here we opened up a new can of Jesus.
I love Jesus. I love Yahweh.
Okay.
Joshua.
Okay. And so now we're talking about Jesus. I love this topic. And this may be blasphemy, but Jesus was the example of what everybody can do. Every single
Absolutely.
Person. Every single person. So, and quite frankly, saying Martin Luther King, I'll give you a Jesus example. Mandela. 27 years in prison and wasn't, you know, came out, still had goodwill and love for the prison guards that treated him like crap. So and so what did Jesus teach about forgiveness, forgiving others? And of course we can all do that. So Jesus isn't just some concept that I can't practice. Yeah.
Just speaking to you, you brought something back into my awareness, and I love reading the Bible. I can never know the Bible, but you said that you two will do great things, right?
Greater things,
and you know what? Human beings are accomplishing that on the planet Earth. You are, and I'm accomplishing that on the planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. You're absolutely right. It takes practice. It takes practice. That's the key word. I've realized that being 56, you've got to put it into practice.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be a lifestyle.
Yes, and now I'm getting chills.
I thank you.
Now, I thank you, and I get chills with you. I get chills when I hear the truth or speak the truth, and you're right. And so this practice, I mean, are you a sports fan?
Well, I don't like looking at sports, but I love playing sports.
Okay, good. And so what is one of your favorites?
Basketball.
Okay. So basketball takes practice. Three-point shot takes practice. All of that takes practice. And so that is
Absolutely.
The same thing with contentment. It's the same thing with happiness. It just takes practice. The thing is how bad do you want it?
Yes. It's funny that you said that, right? Because I'm short, right? I'm like 5'5", and I was a right-handed playing basketball. I said, you know what? I got to bring something else to the game. I developed a left hand. I can dribble and shoot the basket, go to the hoop with my left hand. So that validates and it speaks volumes that everything takes practice.
Yes. Yes, and so
yes,
and so it wasn't Spud Webb, a little shorter guy, and then Allen Iverson was a short guy.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, what a great example that you gave. Now I had to develop something else, and see, because you wanted it bad enough.
Yes, yes. So that just, you know, goes and shows me that I've got to put things into practice. And interest and, you know, loving and caring, yes.
And letting go. And you said things like, well, nobody's perfect. Oh, God doesn't create anything that isn't perfect.
No, you're right. He doesn't. We are perfect, but we choose to do the bad things.
The program to do the bad things. But you know the other thing?
Yeah, we're programmed.
But you know the other thing, though? This is something that's kind of revolutionary. So put your seatbelt on for this, my dear Gary. Put your seatbelt on. You ready? And then I'm gonna close with this. You're gonna need a seatbelt for this. The universe.
I love stimulating conversations.
Yes. Well, the universe is experiencing all of this through us. We are spiritual beings, consciousness having a human experience, correct?
Absolutely.
And so the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, is experiencing all of these things through us. All of it, the ones that they say are good, I'm using air quotes, and the ones that we say are not so good. The universe wants to experience all of it. The sun shines on the serial killer and the Pope. If a murderer and a rapist plants a garden of roses, it's going to grow just like the Pope's garden of roses. So what I'm saying is, and it's a little challenging. At least this is my belief, and nobody has to. And I really appreciate you, Jerry. And nobody has to accept it, but this is my belief, that the universe wants to experience all of it. We're the only, us humans, being a human, are the ones that, oh, there's something wrong here. There's something that needs to change. Oh, this isn't right, and I get it. I promise you, my human, I do get it. Do you know if I was in charge, this world would look a lot different, but I'm not. The universe wants to experience it all. It's uncomprehendable. It all. The good, the bad, the ugly. It's the humans that say there's something wrong with this. What's going on? Ooh, boy, oh boy, oh boy. Well, I know I'm going to get emails on that one. I sure did love Jerry. I'm so glad that I extended the show for Jerry. What a great call. What a great contribution. And see, that's the thing, just being open to different perspectives, different ideas. And yes, we all have the ability to grow and to be as close to the universe as possible. What do I say? I say I am a walking example, a human example of the universe. That's what I am. Now I got things to, I got some things to work on, but that's what I am, and that's what all of us are. The universe expressing itself through me. And give yourselves an A+. I know, an A+ for everything. A+, A+, A+. I get a lot of emails on that one too. A+. And with that, happiness is a practice skill. Now let me get out of here. And you start your day. And here's the theme song. Have a conscious week. Later, alligators.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience. Spirituality. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man. Spirituality. You got a question for RLM? Spirituality. Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby. Good now.
Get real good.
Get spiritual.
But I'm